edition of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Big shout out to all of you in those flyover states and those nooks and crannies. We go way back east to our pal Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News. And boy, there is so much buzz coming out of the Capitol. A lot of things to talk about, including sequestration. Norquist, man, he was on the bandwagon, sort of, where he's beating a path, beating a drum. Of course, we know the conservative activists who really invented the whole anti-tax increase pledge thing and all that kind of stuff. He's saying, you know, he knows there's a way to stop overspending. Everyone has an opinion on this, and it is the talk of the town, isn't it, Jeff?
It really is. It's the buzzword out there, sequester or sequestration. And essentially it means automatic spending cuts. And right now, if Congress doesn't do anything, Kate, the automatic spending cuts will take effect starting in March. So Congress has a little over 3 weeks to figure out a plan. But the problem is that neither party really agrees on what to do. The president wants to scrap the sequester. He wants to replace it with other spending cuts. He refers to them as smart spending cuts, which is sort of a nebulous term. But I think what he's getting at is identifying waste and fraud in areas of the budget and cutting that out instead of just, you know, making a sort of across-the-board spending cut all at once. He's also talking about more tax revenue. And that's something that Republicans are going to fight him on tooth and nail over the next couple weeks, because they think that they gave him all the revenue that they felt like giving back in the fiscal cliff deal. I mean, in that deal, essentially, he got a rate increase. And he got $610 billion of tax revenue over the next decade. Republicans say that that's enough. But the president thinks that there are other areas of the tax code that could use some tweaking and therefore would generate some more revenue. For instance, he wants subsidies to oil and gas companies, big ones. We're talking about Exxon and Chevron and, you know, big oil companies like that. He wants those subsidies cut out. He said that would save $4 billion a year. And while that won't necessarily solve deficit, you know, it's a step in the right direction, says the president. He also wants different loopholes in the tax code cut out so that, you know, loopholes that wealthier people take advantage of. For instance, he's talking about the carried interest loophole as an example. That is something where private equity managers, you know, they have their income that they earn from, you know, investing money taxed at a lesser rate than other people who, you know, are taxed at the federal income level rate. So he wants that done away with. I don't know if he's going to get that, but it's certainly an example of an area where he wants to look at. But the thing is, Kate, Republicans are upset because they say the president, you know, he's got all these ideas on how to get more tax dollars out of people, but he doesn't have any ideas specifically when it comes to spending cuts. And they're upset about that. They want him to dig deep and see if he can come up with real spending cuts that will reduce the budget over the next, you know, decade or so.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't heard the last of this either. Like you said, it really is for the Republicans. You nailed it, Jeff. It's about, you know, where are the spending cuts then? It's great that you have these taxing ideas and you talk about the give and take, but we're not seeing anything when it comes to the spending cuts other than the things that have already been proposed, right?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the spending cuts, you know, the president says that he's already cut spending by $1 trillion. What he's referring to, obviously, are less spending on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, slowing the growth rate of spending on different areas, particularly healthcare. He says that his healthcare law will do that. But, you know, Republicans want him to go further. And, you know, the interesting thing about the sequester is that, you know, obviously it would target pretty much, you know, every aspect of the budget, but particularly the defense budget. And in fact, a lot of defense contracting officials were at the White House today, Kate, meeting with senior advisors, basically telling them, don't let this happen. For instance, the CEO of Northrop Grumman was there. Northrop Grumman manufactures a lot of the unmanned aerial systems or drones that the U.S. Navy uses across the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're saying, listen, you know, our productivity, our manufacturing capability is going to go down, you know, if we're not getting those government dollars in those contracts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge problem. Let's move on to something else. The post office. Now, when we go to our mailboxes in August, that's when it's supposed to happen. We're not going to have Saturday delivery. I know that disappoints you because I'm sure your lovely new wife sends you love letters at least once or twice a week, and you won't be able to get it on Saturday. So this is a big deal, but it's something that's been talked about and suggested before by, you know, the CEO of the U.S. Postal Service. Saying, you know, they're bleeding. They're dead, really, financially.
Yeah, I mean, the Postal Service for a couple of years has been, you know, their finances have been trending downward, and they're in a situation now where they're in the hole. They're running a deficit, and they think that by cutting most mail delivery on Saturdays, they can save upwards of $2 billion, which would go a long way, you know, not towards just keeping employees on the payroll, but also paying out, you know, employee retirement benefits, pension benefits, you know, health care, what have you, the whole list. So this is a move intended at just sort of keeping them afloat. It's not necessarily a long-term fix because they're going to have more reforms, but it's sort of something that they're staring down the barrel of the gun right now, and they need to figure it out. Now, the interesting thing, Kate, is going to be whether lawmakers in the House and Senate intervene, because there are a lot of folks on Capitol Hill that say, wait a minute, the Postal Service doesn't have unilateral authority to do this. They need congressional approval to, you know, reform the way they deliver mail. And so between now and August, I expect there to be hearings and legislation. If there was legislation in the last Congress, but it sort of fizzled, didn't get anywhere, I expect that to be another hot-button issue between now and August. There's plenty of time, so we'll see what happens. Now, just a key note, Postal Service isn't talking about cutting all of this mail delivery on Saturday. For instance, if you did want mail on the weekends, you could have postage shipped to a P.O. box, and the Postal Service would honor that. But I think that where this would really hurt people is in rural areas where more people are reliant on snail mail. Mm-hmm. There's less internet access, less broadband, and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. We have just a couple of minutes left. Why did the Senate postpone the vote on Hagel's nomination?
Well, I mean, to me, it shows that they don't have the votes yet to confirm him. The first vote has to take place in the Senate Armed Services Committee. And it just shows me that they don't have the votes. Now, I mean, obviously, Hagel did not have a very smooth confirmation hearing last week. He did not impress a lot of people, Republicans, who were skeptical of him in the first place. He did nothing to persuade them. And he might have even caused some Democrats to question him. But I think, you know, if I was whipping the votes right now, if I was counting them, I'd probably say that it's a pretty safe bet that he's got all the Democrats on his side and one Republican at least, and that would be Thad Cochran from Mississippi, who's announced his support. He just needs four more Republicans. I haven't, you know, it was sort of encouraging if you're a Hagel supporter when John McCain said earlier this week that he would oppose a filibuster. But McCain didn't necessarily say he would vote for Hagel. We don't know how McCain's going to vote yet. If McCain does vote for Hagel, then, you know, it's a safe bet to assume that guys like Lindsey Graham, maybe even a woman like Kelly Ayotte, would follow suit. They seem to sort of, follow each other pretty closely. But it's up in the air. And I think the fact that we're not going to get a vote in the Senate Armed Services Committee tomorrow means the Democrats think they have a problem.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hey, like 30 seconds, I just want you to give me like a one-word answer so you hear this story. The ex-White House doctor says that Chris Christie is too fat. He's obese, and he's going to die if he doesn't do something. Chris Christie told him to shut up. What's your reaction?
Subway diet.
Yes, it worked for Jared. I agree, absolutely. Jeff Holtzman, thanks so much.
All right, okay, thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Valentine's Day is next week, and ProFlowers is offering an amazing deal. 100 stunning blooms of love plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code RADIO13. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Flower prices will skyrocket during Valentine's Week. Order now from ProFlowers to get huge savings, plus pick any delivery date, and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms of love sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99. Remember, flower prices can double, even triple next week. And this incredible deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code RADIO13. That's ProFlowers.com, secret code RADIO13.
Conversation with Jeff Holtzman. A lot of buzz in Washington over really the biggest thing is this whole sequestering and whether or not we're going to go belly up as far as the government's concerned in March. Raise your hand if you care. I'm looking around my infrared glasses and I see that nobody cares. We're tired of what I called the Band-Aids over and over again. It's the same thing. I wish I knew a better analogy other than that temporary sting, and then, whew, okay, we don't have to worry about it now. I mean, like any of us, when you're not taking care of business, you know what happens, right? You eventually get stung because you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's the definition of insanity. Coming up a little bit later in the show, not this hour, but in another hour, we'll be talking to a Washington insider from Americans for Prosperity about the insanity of continuing to push and push and push and not come up with spending cuts and ask for more taxes, more taxes, more taxes. And, you know, taxes is a dirty word. When you're overtaxed as an American, and it seems as though many of us in the middle class are, we don't want to hear that word. It just doesn't work. Look, I'll pay my fair share, and I bet many of you would say the same thing, but we don't want to pay for everybody else. And it's going to come down to that. It already is coming down to that. But it'll become that much more of a problem if we don't solve the giant big government crisis right now. The overlapping of jobs. There are easy places where we could make cuts right now in the government. Right now in the government we could do that. Why, oh why, that isn't happening and why that's not being discussed, I don't understand. This is the same thing. You have a line in the sand. If you're a Democrat, you're on one side. If you're a Republican, you're on the other side. And occasionally, somebody steps over the line. And occasionally, you hear that word, bipartisanship. Oh, it looks like we have a bipartisan possibility. But in reality, we don't. And we certainly don't when it comes to budgets and money and the deficit and what are we going to do ultimately when the government has to shut down at the end of March if the Republicans stand their ground and don't give in, stand by what they've been saying all along, or will they chicken out in the end? Now, having said that, how many people listening to me are depending on a Social Security check to come to their house? Well, you're not going to like that if what you're told is, well, Social Security, you know, Social Security checks might not make it because the government shuts down. We're not going to process those checks. Well, you don't want to hear that. And that's the problem. It's the constant threat, the humming in the background about no checks. Besides, if you check the mail starting in August over the weekend, you're not going to get any checks in the mail unless you have a P.O. box, because the Postal Service isn't going to deliver and collect letters on Saturdays starting in the beginning of August. Packages would still be delivered, but forget about Saturday delivery. Brings new meaning to the check is in the mail, doesn't it? You know, when you're in business and people say that, oh, the check is in the mail. People still use checks. I mean, that's a good question. How many people in this audience, I wonder, sitting there right now, you're driving home, you're going over the Verrazano Bridge, or you're somewhere in Iowa, you just went shopping, you flipped on, and you heard America Tonight, and you're sticking with me. How many of you write checks? How many of you still write checks? I have things that I still write checks for. And it gets confusing because when you switch sometimes to the online thing, God forbid if you can't get to your online bank because they go down. You wait until the last second or the delivery is a little off. They tell you it's only a couple of days. A lot of people get pinched that way, and then they don't want to do it anymore. So some things are by check and some things are paid online. No more on Saturday. And here's the deal. The Postal Service is saying that they're going to save $2 billion a year, but they're in the category of a $6 billion loss. So the CEO of the Postal Service, Patrick Donahoe, said, look, it's a responsible decision. It made common sense. I've been threatening it. We have to do it. How many jobs are impacted by that? Do you know anyone in your family or anyone in your neighborhood who works for the Postal Service? 22,000 plus jobs would be impacted by this, but they wouldn't be laid off. Overtime would be eliminated. They'd offer buyouts. They would look for part-time workers. They'd have the part-time workers that would they would focus on. Sounds like everyday America, doesn't it? And listen, the key thing that has messed up the Postal Service has been this 2006 congressional mandate. I didn't even realize this was the big threat. I thought it was that people were getting away from paper bills and all that kind of stuff. But it was a 2006 congressional mandate where they have to pre-fund health care benefits for future retirees, right? So the USPS has been borrowing billions, not even millions, billions of dollars from taxpayers to make up for the shortfalls. And then, of course, you have the technology that I mentioned. So that's a decline in first class because people pay bills online and stay in touch other ways. E-cards are big for some. Although, if you take a walk around Hallmark at key times of the year, Christmas, Easter, birthdays, Halloween events, Thanksgiving, I think you still see people getting cards. So not everybody's turning away from that, though it's getting more and more that way. Somebody who's probably 20 years old may never send a card in their life, ever. We would be safe to say it's all about texting, e-cards, something else, a YouTube video, whatever. They might not ever, which is very strange to think about that, they might never send a card. So here's the bottom line, another bad business decision. Because really back then, that's when they should have started watching this. But they twice defaulted on payments that totaled $11 billion, and they've exhausted a $15 billion line of credit from the Treasury. So they've cut offices hours at a lot of post offices. You know, some post offices, you might be listening to me in an area that's off the beaten path, let's say. And how many days can you go to the post office and someone will be there? Might just be that one or two days. They've merged some of the spots together. So there's been a big drop in the amount of workers who are actually wearing the postal uniform. It's like close to 30,000. So 80% of the savings are going to come from that overtime, eliminating the overtime and cutting the hours, cutting retirements, part-time hours and retirements and that stuff. But will the Postal Service actually be saved? Because you heard the number I said at the top. So, like, when I opened up and started talking about the frustrations of the fact that we're never going to see a balanced budget and we just can't keep doing the same thing. Well, it's like the Postal Service, they've been screaming about this for years. So $16 billion loss for 2012. I mean, how are they making up all this money? Eventually, it's more than Saturday mail. Does it completely go down? Can we allow that to happen right now at this point in our history? Can we allow the Postal Service to just go out? It's funny because when you look up the history of the Postal Service, and I grew up not too far away from the first post office in the United States, which was in downtown Philadelphia. It's still there. They kept it alive because that was one of the places that was going to close. But in the history of the Postal Service, Saturday mail has been cut before. In 1947, they did it again 10 years later, budget problems then. Finally, it went all the way back to the regular resumption of Saturday services and every single day except for Sunday in the late 50s. But there have been problems before, but not to the amount of money that we're talking about now. And how can you dig yourself out of that? Seems to be the familiar theme. It's pretty hard to make up that money. And with the advances that we're having with the Internet and everything else and how people are paying, like I mentioned, and the lack of some of that direct mail, that's affecting, just like newspapers. I mean, newspapers are like dinosaurs. So 1863, that's when we started having Saturday delivery. I mean, talk about the end of the end. Think of the Pony Express, the beginning days of mail delivery and what that meant for so many people when they were out in the Netherlands of the United States, in those Dust Bowl areas, and they would get mail delivered, how big that was. And now, it's just a blip on the radar screen. So the mail, no Saturday delivery. Does that make any of you blue? Do you think, actually, that the Postal Service will survive? I think that's really the bigger question. Everybody's talking about the Saturday delivery, but hey, if they can't turn this sucker around, what's going to happen? Do we really have money to bail them out? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Hattler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
The century. I'm going to say whip of the century, or at least the last two decades. That's in a minute, but before we get to that, a couple of quick things. Harmony says, nobody writes letters or sends cards, but boy, the bills sure come. Then we got one from the Columinator, I think I'm saying that right, who says, I could get a letter from Sonora to San Diego in the same day now. Forget about it. Boy, so true. Postal service is kind of hit or miss depending on where you live. I send sometimes things to the mothership, and it seems as though Pony Express is reinvented again. I've sent things to the glue, Matt Johnson, and it seems like it's transported one day, and then the next day, the next time I send him something, it takes 2 weeks. It's unreliable, I would say, unless you get when you get the delivery where it's priority service. I think that's pretty good. I never had any problems with that. Then there were some other comments here, too, about the fact that it's top-heavy and built not to have a profit. So true. $2 billion a year in a loss is just ridiculous. So once again, it's the same thing over and over again. They saw the handwriting on the wall and didn't really do anything to attack it. Tried a couple of things, but didn't do what they really needed to do. We got this one from Pinhead, who says, you know, enough is enough. All good things must end, Ms. Kate. It doesn't seem as though you're afraid of change, but there are a lot of dinosaurs out there who are going to get used to the fact that they're not going to make that walk to the mailbox any longer. I wonder how it will affect people who have P.O. boxes. You know, that's kind of a good question. You have a business, and you're running like one of those FedEx chains, you know, the FedEx chains, And so FedEx would probably be a booming part, depending on where you are. And then you have other paper things you're pushing. But as more paper things go away, faxes and that kind of stuff, that would cut into the business, I would think. Although I was at one of those, what used to be Kinko's FedEx deals last week, and the guy who owned it was interesting thing. He was telling me I had to fax something. They wouldn't accept it any other way. Fax, not over the internet, not scanning, nothing, fax. So he told me that people were lining up to send faxes because there are certain agencies, most of them governmental, who would only take a straight-up fax. For a while, anyway, he says business is booming because of all the faxing and a few other things related to paper. But as we get rid of more and more paper, businesses are going to have to either adapt, find other clever ways to exist, or they're going to find themselves in big trouble.
Speaking of faxes, don't you think it's odd, because this is one of the biggest fax days of the year, because it's National Signing Day, and all the recruits fax their things in? How have we not moved on to a better technology than the fax?
I don't get it either. That's like what I said to the guy at the FedEx place who said he was making money on it. It was like $2 a page or something. And he said that, you know, government agencies, people had to fax things in, legal documents. Why not? I agree. Why don't we have something better?
Because you would think it would be easier to just scan it.
Yes.
And then email it, like, as a PDF.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure, you know, the recruits are worried about, you know, the colleges are worried about getting fake letters of intent and things like that. But you would think a PDF is pretty much the same thing as a fax, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I don't understand the difference between them. So why wouldn't you just email that and then, I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. I'm in the same position as you. That's why I had that conversation today. It was a promo agency that I had to send something to, and that's the only way they would take it. And I thought, wow, you got to be kidding. You're in Los Angeles, no less, and you can't take this. But, hey, you know, who am I to stand in the way of progress? The whip of at least the last two decades or more has to be Donald Trump, right? You know, or you think he's brilliant because he gets every sexy hot woman or someone he thinks is sexy and hot, all the different wives he's had. He gets these exotic women to marry him, or sort of exotic women anyway. Two of them are exotic. And he gets more publicity than you can shake a stick at, even without trying. Or maybe he's trying and he's just that good. So what is he up to lately besides the crazy Celebrity Apprentice show, which the season finale is at the American Museum of Natural History at once, and it's been all over the globe doing all kinds of things with the Celebrity Apprentice and then the regular straight-up apprentice, and we can never get enough of Donald Trump, I suppose. Ever since he wrote the book in the late 80s, I believe it came out, or early 90s, The Art of the Deal, the Donald, the billionaire real estate mogul, is suing millionaire comedian Bill Maher for $5 million. And the reason why is, he says, Bill Maher said in jest, that's what comedians do, that he would donate $5 million to a charity if Trump could prove he wasn't the spawn of his mother having sex with an orangutan. And so Donald Trump said that he can donate the money to the charity of his choice, but that he is going to, he's going to sue him. So he's spending the money to do it. I guess it's a real deal. He filed the lawsuit in Los Angeles. It included in the court documents a January 8th letter to Maher accepting the $5 million charity challenge the day after his appearance on Leno, a copy of Trump's birth certificate, which lists Fred Trump as his father, not an orangutan. So it's an ultimate smackdown that's going to be another frivolous, crazy lawsuit that's going full force. You know, this is like a Judge Judy moment, I think. Put it on one of those TV court things. I think if she's even around anymore. But that perfect, made for TV. And, of course, Bill Maher was making fun of Trump and ripping him, and that's the whole thing, and Trump knows that. But he also knows that he has the money to file a lawsuit, so that's what he's doing. And I want to see if they throw the lawsuit out or they try to push it forward. That would be pretty funny. If I were Bill Maher and I had to pay him $5 million, that boy. And that would change, and the reason why I even bring it up on the air if, let's just say, because you never know with these judges, it seems as though this could be thrown out and you could explain it away, a comedy thing, whatever, so Trump gets more publicity because here lots of people are talking about it for 5 seconds. If the judge, for some reason, were to take it on and they went through and decided it was libelous or whatever, and he could prove that he wasn't the son of an orangutan, then, and for some reason had to try to appeal it, but basically loses the lawsuit, what a precedent that could send for comedians. If you watch any comedy, especially if it's bluer, tune into the HBOs, the Showtimes, the whatever, and some of the things that they say, some of the things they rip on about other celebrities, wow, that would really change the game. I'm thinking it's getting thrown out. I can't imagine that this actually goes through a system. I think it gets tossed out. But Trump knows how to keep things going, so that's what he did. He took the bait, and he just kept on pushing. You know, speaking of pushing things to the limit, the Facebook now has become something that's come up in court a lot. If some of you have searched for jobs, you know that they'll ask about Facebook. People look at your Facebook, check it out, see if you're on there bombed or doing other things that look like you're doing something, but in fact you're just making a crazy pose. So Facebook now, on phones, computers, you just, boom, you hit a button and you're on Facebook. It might be wearing its welcome out. Now there's this new thing called Facebook fatigue that some people say that they feel. 27%, I just saw a survey the other day, Pew did it, the Pew Research Center, that 61% of Facebook users have taken a break from the site because they're tired of it. They're just tired of it. They're going to spend less time in 2013. How about that? I think people are addicted to Facebook. And Facebook can be good. Look, we have a link to Facebook. It's just how often are you on Facebook? So, you know, the profile stuff, the Facebook people always boast that they have a billion active users. But what Pew found was that two-thirds, or the number I mentioned, 67% of American adults who are online who use Facebook need to take a sabbatical because they don't have enough time for the site. They're too busy with real life to spend time reading posts, liking, and commenting. Manti Te'o has some time, and he's good at the Fantasyland stuff. So Facebook for him would be really, really good, wouldn't it? 10% of the people they surveyed called it a waste of time. 10% cited a lack of interest in the content. There you go. 9% said they were unhappy with the amount of drama and gossip on the site. And only 4%, this is a surprise, though, only 4% of the people mentioned privacy and security concerns as a reason for taking a breather from it. I'll tell you what, a lot of the people I know just could care less. They don't want to be found. They like the idea of Facebook, but they don't want to have everybody that they ever came in contact with in their life to suddenly be posting old pictures, talking about the great times when they were 15 years old and recreating all these things that happened in the past. And sometimes that happens. Unless you use the immediate family, I guess, and friends and that circle and whatever, and then maybe if you kept it small, but that doesn't seem to be what it is for most people. I think Facebook is good. I think it's a good tool if you use it like everything else in moderation. Isn't that the problem? None of us are used to moderation. Facebook, that could be another reason why the mail is flailing. Who wants to send a letter? They'll just send a note on Facebook. Hey, if you want to chime in on anything we've been talking about or something fresh and exciting, fling it our way, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. Utopiasilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit utopiasilver.com, UTOPIASilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there, I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The threshold gets too low and we are too casual about it, then we will forget how much scar tissue we build up in those countries.
All right, Stanley McChrystal, you remember him way back when, General McChrystal. President Obama has decided, he's talking about the drones, President Obama has decided, directed, whatever you want to call it, the Department of Justice to give Congress, the intelligence committees anyway, access to classified legal advice providing the government's rationale for drone strikes against American citizens working with Al-Qaeda. And a senior administration person said that this is, we're working this out. They're demanding to see the documents because it's just swelled the conversation. And this is because the Senate Intelligence Committee is preparing for that hearing on Thursday for John Brennan, who helped manage the drone program and now is in line to be the CIA director. So there's controversy over the drones, and maybe the drones have gone on too long and are too lethal and are hurting the image of the United States. 11 senators, including Democrat Ron Wyden from Oregon, called the president to and said, give us any and all legal opinions that outline your authority to use this kind of force against Americans. And if you're lost in the sauce on this story, what you just have to know is Al-Waliki and Sami Khan, basically, and also Al-Waliki's son, were killed in drone attacks, and they are Americans. So this is what they're talking about, that they haven't been tried and convicted, and so the drone strike that killed Samir Khan and Al-Waliki and the son, the 16-year-old son of Al-Waliki, is out of bounds because of the fact that they belong to us and they were not tried. Give me a break. this is, again, a very trying position to me. And I understand how some people would say, I get it. We can't just do that. I mean, the collateral damage, you can't just poo-poo that and say, hey, they're hitting some people, and what about hitting innocent people? But those guys weren't innocent. Al Awlaki wasn't innocent, and neither was Samir Khan. They wanted to cut our throats if they could individually come to our house and do it seriously. I mean, both of them were poisonous. There's no question about it. They had evidence linking them to a plot, one plot especially, that would have blown up a plane right before it landed in Detroit on Christmas Day. So give me a break. What ultimately happens on the Hill will be interesting, because drones, if the map of drones, the secret map of drones, they are everywhere. I mean, the drones, when we're talking about how much we're using them, how much we're producing them, how much this is the wave of the future, the training that goes into getting the right people to actually run the drones in the United States, people that are gamers, people that are former gamers that go into the military are perfect for these jobs and usually end up in those positions. So the attack behind the curtain, flying the drone in the desert somewhere over some horrific place looking for some horrific Al-Qaeda folks, you know, maybe those days will be done. If there's a real, real, real serious push on this to say, listen, especially with U.S. citizens and links to U.S. citizens, is it really legal for the government to kill citizens that they think are senior Al-Qaeda officials because they continually engage in operations aimed at killing Americans? What if they don't have any evidence of a specific imminent attack? Oh, that's scary. How much of a risk are you willing to take? How much of a risk would we be willing to take? I want to hear what Brennan has to say, because they're gonna grill him for the most part, I think, everything drone. To drone or not drone, that's what it's going to be about. Whether or not we cut back on a certain people we're chasing. And the people I mentioned, Khan and Awalaki, were terrible. I mean, they were raising havoc and trying to certainly get lots of people involved in programs to try and kill Americans, including Americans to turn on other Americans. You know, these guys were preaching. They had their own choir. They were preaching heavily to recruit more people. So where do you draw the difference? Where do you draw up the difference between I'm plotting, I have everything in place, but whoa, you stopped me. You stopped the guy who was going to pull the trigger on the underwear bomb right before it happened, or you stopped me right before the plot took off. You arrested people before they got in the car that they were going to leave that was rigged up. I think I would take every single day of the week stopping the threat before it happens. And so, yes, they were Americans, but they were traitors. Al-Awlaki wanted nothing to do with being an American. And see, Ron Paul defends, you know, Ron Paul, as much as I said this in our last show, as much as I would agree with so much that Ron Paul says about the Federal Reserve and what's going on with our monetary system and too much ridiculous power in Washington and too bloated the government and, you know, a myriad of things that he stood for that people used to make fun of, that I think he was right on right from the beginning. And now, during this last election cycle, everybody wanted to adopt some of the things that Ron Paul was saying. But I can't agree with him on the drone thing, because he doesn't like the drones, and he thinks that there's no due process here and it's the wrong way to go. But I think that you have to look at closely at where you decide is the right moment that you can actually intercede. Okay, this guy wants to kill Americans. We have the information. Think of Osama bin Laden. Whoops, we had him in our grasp, and he slipped away. Yep, could have ended the Osama bin Laden reign a lot sooner, but it didn't happen, and then look at 9/11. So when the evidence is clearly mounting there, I think it's fair game in Yemen to strike at Al-Awlaki for what he was doing and to get him. I mean, lethal drone strikes from covert bases could be a thing of the past. Even though these are American terror suspects, I think could be a thing of the past depending on how deep this goes. and what the Democrats and Republicans ultimately decide. Or maybe just gets pushed off the table once the process, the confirmation hearing goes through with Brennan, and if he's accepted as the CIA director, which he probably will be accepted as the director, then maybe this is a lot of conversation and makes for good headlines, but it goes back in the closet again, which is where I think it belongs. I cannot defend either one of those two guys. And the kid, that's Al Walicki's fault. He knew better than to have his family with him. He knew, based on all the things that he was doing, of course he was a target, of course. So, okay, get the access to the classified drone documents. See what the legal advice was and the reason why there was the go orders to take them out in Yemen and for those several of those strikes. Because when do you decide you have enough evidence? And see, if they're not Americans, then okay, it's okay to do that. They're not Americans. We know they're Al-Qaeda suspects, so we're going after the bad guys. We're getting them before they get us. But what happens when it's an American who is flat out a traitor, who flat out spits in the face of our way of life and poisons other people to it, adds to the hate conversation, getting more and more people, mosque, more people in the mosque, more young guys, disenfranchised guys, to want to hate us and kill us. We have seen the results of it. It's truly a testament, I think, to what's been done behind the scenes, that we haven't had anything happen. Nothing big has happened since 9/11 other than, horrifically, Benghazi. But not on U.S. soil. Several attempts have happened, but they've been stopped. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Or where would we be at this point? We'd be talking about something completely different. We, you know, people wouldn't talk like that. It wouldn't even be part of the conversation. I don't even know if they'd look twice at drones. But because we haven't had anything happen, this is what's now part of what's being looked at being very careful with these drones. And we may see a little bit of a pullback on the drones, maybe. Hey, taxpayer money, it's your money and my money. I'd say yes to the drones overseas, no to the drones in my neighborhood, though. That's for sure.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
Is this a business decision, or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.
My name is Stephen Huer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He's become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he has made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.